Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, is this Ken McDaniel, KD?
Yes, it is.
Hi, my name is Cinda Gaskin, and I'm going to be hosting you tonight on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you. Good, good. What was your first name again?
Cinda.
Cinda. Okay, nice to meet you.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you also, and thank you so much for what you've done to serve the people of New Jersey, in particular the people of Paterson.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so you've had a very eventful summer, to say the least.
Yes, unfortunately, that's the case.
Okay, well, I would love for you to tell our listeners about some of the events that have occurred since May 11th. And, you know, I know that that certainly as an educator, a principal, and coming from a service background, a public service background, you know, you'll certainly do your best to educate us about the process that occurred.
Yes.
And inform us about what your next steps will be.
Right, no problem, no problem. Well, first off, my name is Ken McDaniel, and I was, or you can say am, a candidate for city council at large in the city of Paterson, New Jersey. That election was held on May 11th, 2010. In that election, we had the mayoral election, and our voters voted for three seats for city council at large. There were 10 candidates running for city council at large, and three for the position of mayor. And on May 11th, on that night, I was announced as the as one of the three individuals who had emerged victorious as far as earning the highest number of votes. I had the third highest number of votes earned on that particular night. We did know, however, that the provisional ballots had not been counted, and that's customary. For some reason, it takes approximately a week or so for them to count all of the provisional ballots. So I had a 25-vote lead on an incumbent by the name of Councilman Arrigo Rodriguez.
Yes.
And, you know, we knew going into it that, you know, we had to count those provisional ballots, and there was a possibility that I would not emerge victorious after that count. So approximately 6 or 7 days later, the provisional ballots were counted, and I still emerged victorious. I still had more votes than Councilman Rigo Rodriguez. At that point, my lead decreased from 25 down to 6. I had a total of 5,198 votes, and this was my first time stepping into the political arena, and, you know, I had beaten an incumbent, which, you know, which says a lot.
Sure.
Subsequent to that, the councilman, although he stated that he would not contest the election, he did, however, petition the court for a recount. And I felt comfortable going into the recount because I thought that a recount was just that. They just recounted what they had already counted. Something happened in the recount process that none of us had anticipated. We were informed that 21 days after the May 11th election, that a Board of Elections staff person stumbled across 49 additional mail-in ballots that they tell us had not been counted 21 days earlier, when the other 940 something odd ballots had been counted. So they also say that they don't know how that happened. I don't recall any type of apology or anything like that to the citizens of Patterson, but they say that this was just simple human error, and they don't know how it happened. However, it would not have been discovered had the councilman not put in for a recount. So this didn't sit well. You know, going into it, it was a very difficult situation for a newcomer such as myself. There were a lot of heavyweights and big names, very popular people, two incumbents. So it was going to be difficult. Two individuals that had served on boards of education in our local area. So it was going to be difficult for a newcomer. To place sixth or seventh would have been something, you know, to brag about in this particular race. But I had placed third and actually winning the, you know. So to ultimately lose in court 22 days later under some fishy circumstances didn't sit well, and I could have just left it alone and said, oh, okay, they found extra ballots, and now I'm no longer councilman-elect anymore. I'm John Q. Public once again. But I decided that that would not be the right way to go. You know, it seemed like something happened to me. It seemed like that the whole thing wasn't right. So I decided to follow up on it. I decided to investigate it a little further and also petition the court to find a remedy. And also I reached out to the state attorney general's office and requested an investigation regarding the whole matter. Excuse me, I didn't quite hear you.
It sounds like we have a little bit of interference on the line, but
that
interruption kind of gave me an opportunity to ask where are we at this point in the process then? So ultimately, after the 22 days had passed, it was determined that you were no longer the winner and you felt an injustice had been
done to you, and you went to the Attorney General of the state of New Jersey. And so where are we at this juncture?
At this juncture, it is my understanding, I don't have any official word from the Attorney General's office, but it is my understanding that they have been subpoenaing people and questioning people, and that they have launched an investigation, which may include a grand jury. I don't know the scope of their investigation. I don't know what type of questions they're asking. I don't know anything about their investigation, but I do believe that it is ongoing. So in addition to that, I have my own investigation ongoing, and I have my own court case. It was originally scheduled for July 13th, and it got moved to August 16th, which is Monday coming up.
Yes.
So on Monday, I had hoped that we would be closer to a resolution on Monday. However, it doesn't look like that's going to take place. I mean, the court hearing may take place, or something legal will take place. However, I don't believe that we'll be any closer to a resolution on Monday. And that's only due to some legal finagling and things of that nature, stuff with the lawyers, the attorneys, and more than likely we're looking at rescheduling.
Well, at this point, if you don't mind, I just want to check in with you. In terms of all those voters that supported you and those people that came out and they absolutely know that they checked a ballot for Ken McDaniel, are those supporters with you still? Are you rallying those people? Is there an effort, created now so that those people can be there with you, at least a contingent, on Monday?
Well, yes. There are a number of people that are working closely with me as far as the investigative team. There are other people that are supporters that I stay in contact with, giving them information with regard to the progress of the case, how our investigation is turning out, and what legal things are going on, and things of that nature. So people are watching closely. People have a lot to say about it. People don't feel good about this particular situation. And I don't see how they could be. I mean, it's understandable that not many people are at ease with the way this matter transpired. And we're looking to at the very least, create a situation where this doesn't happen to other people in future elections. We don't want to disenfranchise voters. We don't want voters to say, well, you know what, this happened back in May 11th, and why even vote? They're going to tell me someone's the winner, and then whatever amount of votes they may need to say he's not the winner or whatever, this is what I heard from people. And I felt sort of like that when that initially took place. I felt like that as well. With this investigation, though, I've come to believe that it was, however, distasteful it might be, I do believe that this was a case of human error, where they somehow did not run these ballots through when they were supposed to. Because I did a lot of research. And, I'm checking date stamps and log books and all sorts of different things.
With your admission that it perhaps was a case of human error, do you think that voicing that statement, in the media will serve you or will hurt you?
Well, It should serve me, because I'm only going to speak the truth, and that's what I was about to get to. In doing my research, the investigation, not only did it lead me to that belief, which I don't know that to be the case 100%, but it has led me to that belief. that, you know, something like this could possibly happen. The workers simply did not treat that responsibility at the highest level that one would believe that they would treat an election, because that's the only way that something like that could happen. But the other truth that this investigation led me to is that there was a great deal of voter fraud going on in the city of Patterson during this particular election, primarily with the vote by mail situation. A lot of folks don't know that the law had recently changed, where it used to be absentee ballot. You had to have maybe be out of the country, in the army, in college, or somewhere away, or have some medical condition that prevented you from being able to physically get up, go to the polls, and cast your vote.
Right.
That has all been done away with in the effort to make voting that much more accessible or easy for all voters to participate. That's the thinking, the rationale of the legislature. However, they've created a system that's wide open for political corruptness and fraud. And
absolutely,
that is what has been going on for, I would say, at least the past three or four elections in Patterson, including school board elections. We had a group of candidates who have created a database of vote by mail. They're running vote by mail campaigns, and those campaigns are illegal in and of themselves. Candidates cannot be affiliated with any effort to control or garner vote by mail applications or ballots from potential voters. But what we have in Patterson, and this is what I've learned from going out to the homes, because the extra 49 created a situation where, I didn't mention that all of the 49 ballots that they found, they were all for the candidate who petitioned the court for a recount. Now, this candidate had knowledge. He had intimate knowledge of the fact that certain people's votes had not been counted. Now, there may be two people that you probably can count on as a candidate that voted for you, yourself and your mother. Anybody else is, they may be telling you the truth, but anybody else is, you know, they're subject to, once they get the ballot in hand or they're in the booth, they could actually vote for a different person no matter what they tell you. But this candidate knew that these 49 individual votes had not been counted. Now, the only way for him to know that is for him to have had intimate knowledge that these people voted for him for sure. And the only way to know that is to actually see the vote-by-mail ballot.
May I just interrupt a second? I want to just kind of check in with you in terms of the motive of Mr. Rodriguez. In terms
yes.
of his motive for going to this extent in order for the vote to be turned in his favor, as you said, there were 10 names on the ballot, and three of those names included you. I'm not certain that his name was included in the three, but for him to target you and to, well, it may not have been target you, but he may have gotten enough votes to cancel you out, I guess, out of the three. But what would be his motive? Why would he be so aggressive about fabricating this story? And I know we can only speculate here.
Well, it's not that he was fabricating a story. It's that he knew for sure that the votes that he and his team or his operatives, it's my belief, it's my understanding based on my investigation, that he knew for sure that certain votes had not been counted. See, when you vote by mail, you can call 10 days later and find out if your ballot had been actually counted. So somehow, some way, voters told us that he told them, don't worry about it. This was after May 11th when he was announced that, you know, that he didn't win. He said, don't worry about it. We know that your vote didn't go through. Your vote wasn't counted. See, I went out and we interviewed these 49 mysterious ballots, the lost and found ballots. We interviewed those individuals. We didn't have to ask them who they voted for because it was counted in the recount that all of the 49 went for Mr. Rodriguez. So there was no need to say, well, who did you vote for? Because we knew this. So the only way he would know this is to have had prior knowledge of who these individuals absolutely voted for. You understand?
Yeah.
Mr. Rodriguez had already broken the record for vote by mail ballots in the city of Patterson prior to the extra 49. The record had been, he already broke the record. For a person who's just broken any record to then turn around and say, no, there has to be more. Not only did I break this record, there are 49 more ballots that you didn't count. He had knowledge of his total 553 vote-by-mail votes. See, these ballots, it has been relayed to us that the ballots illegally, individuals went out to the people's homes, individuals filled out the vote-by-mail application for people, and then they came back to the homes and retrieved the ballots. They also did this in church groups and things like that. They got together and had the people fill out ballots. The people tell us that they did not seal their ballots. They just gave them the ballot after they made a couple of markings on the ballot. They were able to vote for three city council at-large candidates and one candidate for mayor. Some of them only voted for one city council at-large candidate. Some voted for two, things of that nature, which is within their right to do so. So they told us that they gave these open ballots to the operatives working for the candidate, and then the candidate would take these ballots to the operative would take the ballots to a headquarters or some location controlled and operated by the candidate. We learned through investigation, we looked at the ballots, and we saw that these ballots, which I already told you, they could put four markings, three for city council at large, one for mayor. That's very simple, a little round bubble like the Scantron test. We saw where you had in black ink, they're voting for the mayor and one city council candidate in particular. And then turn around in blue ink, they're voting for another city council at-large candidate. Even if one voter had done that, we don't believe that multiple voters would have had that identical ink situation or that identical ink problem where they decide, I'm going to vote for this particular candidate only in blue ink. So it appears that somewhere along the line, someone examined the voter's ballot and made the determination that the voter unfortunately left out a certain candidate, so they just bubbled him in. That's what it looks like.
What can the people of the city of Patterson do? Because not only were you done a disservice if any of these allegations turn out to be true, not only were you done an injustice, but they themselves perhaps may be represented by someone who was not the candidate of choice. So what can the people of Patterson, those concerned citizens who want their voices heard, who want the person who actually won to be named to the council position, so what can they do to support you between now and the time this issue is resolved?
Well, I think they should not stand for any fraud whatsoever. If the councilman is found to be guilty of any level of fraud or wrongdoing, I believe that he should be removed. And I believe that goes for every elected official. If they're found guilty of any fraud because they've broken the public trust. And I believe that people, and a number of them have already, should continue to speak out and show that they are displeased by what's been happening and that they want answers. We need to know, you know, the scope of the Attorney General's investigation, and I'm sure that the findings will be made public once that investigation has been completed. People have written letters to the editor. I would recommend that people continue to do that. Continue to write letters to the editor. Continue to reach out to media outlets, radio stations, internet radio, TV, what have you. News 12 has done a story on this. The chairman of the Board of Elections has also come out on News 12. He stated that he believed that there was a level of fraud that had taken place in this particular election. He stated that, that fraud took place well before the ballots reached the Board of Elections. So we're talking about some of the same activities that I mentioned just a little while ago, where the fraud is taking place right at the voters' home. We have situations where several voters show up at the polling stations to vote on May 11th, only to be told by the poll workers that, no, there's a marker next to your name indicating that you have already voted by mail. These voters were stunned, shocked, and disbelief. A few of them even went to court that day to be granted the right to vote provisionally because they had not voted by mail. See, to vote by mail, all the candidate needs is your signature. That's all he needs. He doesn't need you. You don't have to fill out any paperwork. All he needs is your signature or an approximation thereof. So if they believe that you're not going to vote, they can do this this work all on their own. You know, the law is set now where anyone can vote for you. If you know your uncle no longer lives in a city, you can just fill out the paperwork, have the form mailed to your home, and then you vote for your uncle. You can call him up and get his vote though, or you can vote, you know, just on your own. So this whole vote by mail situation is wide open, and you have candidates that know it and candidates that live by it. This particular candidate, Councilman Rigo Rodriguez, had a lackluster performance in every other level of voting. He didn't do well at the polling sites. He didn't do too well on the provisional voting, yet he broke the record for vote by mail, shattering the competition. He has 553 votes by mail. I had 89. The candidate with the most total votes, Benji Wimberly, he had 120 vote by mail ballots, but his total was well over 8,000 votes. So even the top people are not getting these numbers because they're not going out specifically and creating vote-by-mail campaigns, because to do so is illegal. It's against the law.
I need to just stop you there, Mr. McDaniel, but thank you so much. I absolutely sense your passion and your commitment to the people of Paterson, New Jersey, that they will absolutely have the candidate that truly won this election. And I'm certain that our listeners' support and prayers are with you, that you will come through this victorious, and that another level of accountability will be in place as a result of your ultimate victory in this effort to allow justice to be served in not just your life, but in the people of Patterson's life. So thank you so much for being a guest on Blog Talk Radio tonight. And
thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
To hearing more about your plight.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.